Today's podcast is brought to you by the Diamond XL earrings from Eden Pure's sister company, Lindenwold Fine Jewelers. You can get a pair of stunning 1-carat diamond alternative earrings for only $79. Go to DiamondXLEXCEL.com and save $120 with code word Howie Diamond. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Friday, Junior. We are cruising towards the end of this week, and we have tons of breaking news stories for you, plus great guests. We got a really great show lined up. We've got David Marcus. You might know him. He really writes for everyone. Daily Mail, Daily Wire, all the dailies, New York Post, Fox. He's going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour to cover a bunch of different topics. The one I'm really excited to get his take on is cigarettes versus weed. He was on the Morning Wires podcast today, and he was discussing both. And so we'll talk about that. That might generate some action in the call lines. Now, we also have Woke or Joke at 1:30, which I know is a fan favorite, so you've got that to look forward to. But for this hour, we are opening up the lines. We're going to dig through a couple of different headlines and hopefully get your take on it. The number is 844-500-4242. So the first thing I want to hit is that Speaker Kevin McCarthy made good on his promises. He kicked, and this actually has to do with our poll question, which I'm not going to read yet, but if you want to vote, it's gracecurlyshow.com. He kicked Ilhan Omar, Adam Schiff, and Eric Swalwell off of their respective House committees. Now, this prompted yesterday, and I think I was being very kind today, and I didn't ask for any of the sound from this press conference, this wine fest. This prompted Schiff, Swalwell, and Omar to hold a press conference in which they whined about how unfair it is that Kevin McCarthy is holding Democrats to their own standards. Now, yesterday, when it seemed like this was going to happen, Adam Schiff sent out a fundraising email. He was fundraising off of the fact that he was no longer going to be on the House Intelligence Committee. And this is what he wrote. And these fundraising, you guys know how I feel about fundraising emails. I think they're hilarious. They're always so dramatic. And they're asking you for like, oh, your $50 is going to make the difference in my campaign. So this is what Schiff says. I really need you with me to help respond to this baseless attack on my ability to serve my constituents and the American people. Now, there's nothing baseless about what Kevin McCarthy's saying as to what prompted him to remove Schiff from his committee. Adam Schiff, for people who aren't aware, lied several times and claimed to have evidence that showed that Trump, the former president, was colluding with Russia. And he oftentimes would exploit the fact that he had this private, top secret information as a way to say, well, I can't tell you what it is, but you can just trust me. You can just trust me. It's bad. And he was always teasing it. Like it was, you just wait. Soon we're going to tell you about it. None of this kompromat ever came to fruition. So he took advantage of his position to try to influence how people felt about a president with nothing to back it up. It was a big nothing burger. So there's nothing baseless about these attacks, okay? He says, please contribute $10 or whatever you can spare today to help me respond to Republicans' baseless attacks on my ability to hold them accountable. They really didn't change it up much in this email. A lot of the same words used over and over. That's okay. I'm not here to play editor for Adam Schiff and his team of, I'm sure, very, very top-notch assistants and chancellors and think tank members and whoever's helping him every day. This isn't the end of my fight for truth, accountability, and our, of course, our democracy. Because the fight for our democracy, this is me now, this is Grace Curley, this is an Adam Schiff. The fight for our democracy is something that every Democrat does every single day. Okay? Now, what made this even funnier, though, so the fundraising email was funny in itself. But what made it even better is now, as I said, this is a guy who McCarthy is arguing, McCarthy saying Adam Schiff being on the House Intelligence Committee puts American national security at risk. That's his argument. And like I said, there's plenty to back that up. You could go on Twitter right now. I saw a montage this morning of all the times Adam Schiff lied on television, in these hearings. He parodied Trump's conversation with Zelensky to make it seem like it was nefarious when it wasn't. There's plenty of bullet points on the list of why Adam Schiff is the worst. Okay? But here's the hilarious part. So Kevin McCarthy's saying we can't have him on this committee. He's jeopardizing national security. So where does he go to complain about how unfair it is that he's kicked off the House Intelligence Committee? He goes to TikTok. TikTok. That's right. An app that is being banned in state government because people are so nervous that the Chinese Communist Party is going to steal information and take this information and use it. And it compromises a lot of our security. I mean, I did an interview recently with someone who said, get off of TikTok. Like, I was kind of saying it jokingly, like, oh, you know, I downloaded it during the pandemic. And he said, it's no joke. It's very, very bad to be on TikTok. And you know what else is crazy about TikTok, which I just learned recently?
Not a joke. Not a joke.
And I saw this on social media. I didn't see it on TikTok. I saw it on Instagram, which I don't know how much better that is. But I saw this video about how China serves completely different content to people in China. Like young kids who use TikTok, they're getting served completely different content than the kids here. So here, our kids are being served stupid challenges that lead to people dying, you know, makeup tutorials, just nothing of real value. And, you know, maybe I shouldn't say that about makeup tutorials because Lord knows I do love a makeup tutorial. But they're serving them things that are kind of asinine. In China, they're serving their younger generations with educational content, science, math. And so this is an app that has a history of taking advantage of people's information, of risking people's security. And it's why so many Republican government officials are saying, we got to get this out of our, especially our government cell phones. Like people should not be using it on their work phones. That's where Adam Schiff goes to talk about why he's not going to jeopardize national security. You almost can't make up something this dumb. And he obviously gets roasted online about it because people just can't believe that he would actually choose to do that. 844-500-4242. Let's play. This is Adam Schiff on TikTok. Cut 13.
Hello, I'm Congressman Adam Schiff with some troubling news. Today, Kevin McCarthy removed me from the House Intelligence Committee, all for doing my job, for holding Trump accountable, and standing up to the extreme MAGA Republicans. We knew it would be bad when the Republicans took over, but it's far worse than we expected. But I can promise you this, this is not the end of my fight for our democracy. This is just the beginning. Please join us and contribute today. Thank you.
Now, this is from Fox News. It says, many Twitter users pointed out the apparent hypocrisy of complaining about losing access to sensitive national intelligence data on TikTok, an app that at least 30 states have banned from government devices for spyware concerns, according to the Daily Signal. And so here are some of the responses. Mark Hemingway, who is from Real Clear Investigations, wrote, he's so invested in America's national security, he's whining about it on a Chinese espionage site. Daily Caller's Rebecca Downs, oh dear God, of all the dumb things to say and ways to respond, he had to do this from TikTok. China is laughing at us, but what else is new? And Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, wrote, first thing Adam Schiff does once he gets removed from the Intel Committee was post a video asking for money on a Chinese Communist Party spyware and propaganda platform. Yep, I think that sums it up pretty good. That is Adam Schiff. And we'll continue to talk about this because he also announced he's running as a senator in he's running for the Senate seat in California. And so he's going to go up against Katie Porter. Now, here's my beef with that. My girl, Dianne Feinstein, or as I like to call her, DiFi, has not said that she's backing down. And I do not appreciate the fact that these Democrats are stepping on her toes and just assuming, and I don't know why they're assuming this. Is it because of her age that she's had enough? Because she hasn't said anything about retiring. And now I kind of hope to spite these Democrats who are getting too big for their britches. I hope DiFi stays. I hope she runs again and shows them who's boss. Another huge story today that I want to get to. I'm going to save it for the other side. If you missed this, Project Veritas has a bombshell video out there. And if you're unfamiliar with Project Veritas, it's run by James O'Keefe. He's a really great journalist. He was banned from Twitter for a long time, but thanks to Elon Musk, he's back. And what they do is they set up these kind of sting operations. They're always kind of the same format. It's like they'll have a video camera and a recording device, and they'll sit down with a liberal from a big company or a big publication. And they'll sometimes it's the liberal thinks they're on a date. They think they're on a date with someone. And so they start spilling their guts about the inner workings of, let's say, the New York Times or Planned Parenthood. In this case, it was Jordan Walker, who's the Pfizer Director of Research and Development. And Jordan, when I say this with love, he walked into this hook, line, and sinker. He was an open book. He was telling all of Pfizer's secrets to this person. And it's kind of a warning message for liberals. If you are a radical liberal, or if you work for a radical company, and you find yourself at dinner with someone you really don't know that well, and they're asking very specific questions about the place you work, maybe a red flag should go off that something's going on here. 844-500-4242. We will have all of these cuts for you when we come back. He talks about Pfizer wanting to mutate the virus and actually place mutated viruses in monkeys to see how they work and see how they change based off going from monkey to monkey. It's really weird. It sounds like something out of a sci-fi film, but it's real. And we'll talk all about that when we come back. Now, something I want to talk to you guys about is diamonds. Now, diamonds are a girl's best friend. We all know that. But sometimes that friend can be very, very expensive. So if you're like me, you might have always wanted diamond stud earrings, or maybe your girlfriend or your wife wanted them. But the price and the fear of losing one, that's what's always stopped me. Because I want to look glamorous. I want to have a little, you know, fun and wear some fun jewelry. But if I lost a diamond stud when I'm at the beach or when I'm at the grocery store, that would ruin my whole day. So now you can get a stunning 1-carat diamond alternative pair for only $79. That's right. Each is 1 carat, making it a total of 2 for only $79. Now, the quality of these, they are amazing. I bought them for my mom. I know the mailroom manager has a pair. A lot of our listeners, when I see them at remotes, they have them on. And they're beautiful because a regular diamond has 58 facets, but the Diamond Excel earrings have 106. This gives you more sparkle, more brilliance, and more beauty than a genuine diamond. These earrings are made by Eden Pure's sister company, Lindenwold Fine Jewelers, and they've been in the business for 54 years. They have over 8 million satisfied customers. I would be one of those. And it's a really, really great gift if you're someone who's out there thinking, well, my wife doesn't really need anything. You know, she doesn't really want anything. I'll just get her some chocolates or some flowers. That's all good too. But add this in because it's a really nice way to show someone that you're thinking of them and that you care. And here's a really cool part too. You have a choice between silver or gold vermeil, and they come in a beautiful black velvet gift box. So they're really doing all the work for you. Go to diamondexcel.com. It's E-X-C-E-L. I get a lot of messages about how to spell this. E-X-C-E-L. Save $120 with code Grace Diamond. This offer is only good for this week. It's diamondexcel.com. Save $120 with code Grace Diamond, and shipping is free. We'll be right back with the poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, and we'll play some of this Pfizer sound for you. We'll be right back.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Grace Curley Show. I am so excited to be here today. Sometimes it just hits me. Like, I'm going through my stack of stuff. It's all these stories I can't wait to talk about. And it's just so cool that this is what I get to do every day and talk to all of you. And if you want to call in, the number is 844-500-4242. Also, some exciting news from the headlines this morning is that the Paul Pelosi footage, the cop footage, or what do they call it? The
body cam footage.
Body cam footage. Thank you, Jared. Is going to be released. So the judge decided to side with all of these media outlets that for once are banding together to actually deliver us some reporting. It is, I don't know what's happening lately. Something's in the air, but I'm not complaining. So we are going to get that Paul Pelosi body cam. I keep wanting to say dash cam. That's what's happening here. We are going to get that footage, and once we see it, we'll let you know what we have to show for it. 844-500-4242. This is actually perfect because we're talking about Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell and Ilhan Omar, and they're all very upset that they're kicked off of their respective committees. They all think that it's a huge blow to American national security that Swalwell, who has a history of having an intimate relationship with a Chinese spy, Fang Fang, will not sit on the House Intelligence Committee. We are somehow supposed to believe that not having a man who fell for a Chinese spy's, is it fair to call it a honey trap, Jared? Is that what they call it?
Honey pot.
Honey pot. Jeez, I'm off today. Yikes. But not having him on a House Intelligence Committee is allegedly going to jeopardize our national security. Do you feel, this would have been a good poll question, do you feel less safe now that Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell don't have top secret information that no one else has access to? Like, would you feel safer right now if Eric Swalwell was on the House Intelligence Committee?
My favorite part about the Swalwell Winefest press conference yesterday was he referred to himself as like the finest glassware in the cabinet on the Intel Committee. And his defense was, well, the other Republican speakers didn't kick me off and they had the same intel. So
it's like, okay, oh, so yikes. Yeah. So the
oh,
other
so
side,
somebody with integrity finally showed up, apparently.
Like, yeah.
That's so, not a defense.
Up until this point, our speakers have sucked, and now apparently they don't. That's the argument he's trying to make. Can we find that cut? He referred to himself as the finest glassware. All right. Swalwell. Well, that brings us to our poll question. I'm very curious how people are going to vote on this, because it's a tough one. It's a tough one. Today's poll question is brought to you by Rizzo Insurance. When was the last time you had your insurance audited? I've gone to Rizzo for my insurance. I really like them. They're great people, and they saved one of my coworkers over $1,700. I know they saved me a lot of money, so you can't go wrong with them. To get your insurance audited, go to RizzoInsurance.com. Jared, what is the PQ for today, and what are the results thus far?
Who are you happiest to see removed from their respective House committee? Ilhan Omar, Adam Schiff, or Eric Swalwell?
Well, I'm happy that an anti-Semite like Ilhan Omar is removed from her committee, and I don't want to downplay that. But really, my top two contenders here, it's really hard to choose when it comes to Schiff and Swalwell. They're both so unlikable. So in that sense, right now, likability factor, they both have 1 point each, because they're both the same degree, I would say, of unlikable. Schiff lied consistently about the Russia hoax, as did Swalwell, but Swalwell's got Fang Fang, and I'll never get enough of that story. So I'm going to go, and this is what I'm predicting. I'm predicting I'm going to go Swalwell, but I think the listeners are going to go Schiff. Do I have it right?
You would be correct in that assessment. 70% for Adam Schiff, 25% for Ilhan Omar, and only 5% for Eric Swalwell.
Really?
But they haven't heard the glassware clip, which we're going to find and play on the other side.
Maybe they think he is the finest glassware in the cabinet. Maybe. Do all the voters feel a little nervous now that Eric Swalwell is not looking out for them? Well, don't worry. Adam Schiff's on TikTok complaining about all of this. We'll be right back with the Pfizer cuts I promised from Project Veritas, and we'll take your calls. It's 844-500-4242.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
603 wrote, wow, just as you started talking about the Paul Pelosi body cam footage, your Facebook feed went down pronto. Almost like the power cable was pulled. I wonder if you're being censored by big meta tech. This is Occam's razor situation. When you can choose between conspiracy or, you know, something just going wrong, it's usually something just going wrong. We're fixing it right now. Just a technical difficulty. Maybe it's meta. Maybe it's the Pelosi's, but I don't think so. Speaking of meta, though, I read yesterday that Trump is going to be welcomed back on Facebook. And, you know,
and Instagram.
And, you know, Jared, I got to say, this might just be my age type deal. You're a little older. You can speak to the older generations. I don't know anyone who uses Facebook that much anymore. Like, I know people who use it for companies and like we use it for the show. But as far as people on there just posting things about their daily lives, is it still happening?
Some people do. I use it to post pictures of my son for relatives that are far away that I don't see that I'm friends with. It's kind of an easy way for me to say, hey, here's the latest, you know, pictures or whatever.
So are you happy Trump's back? So while you're posting your pictures, you can also check out what he's saying?
I don't even know that I liked or followed Trump on Facebook, so I'll have to see. Yeah, I know, I'm the worst. I'm betraying Donald Trump.
You better get on that soon.
I know, right?
Well, we also heard he was going to come back on Twitter. Still waiting on that to happen. Now that I'm looking forward to, because Twitter for me is a daily thing. I use it for work. I'm on there all the time, and I just think Twitter is a gold mine for content. So if he gets back on there, you know, some of his tweets were so iconic that I still talk about them to this day without even realizing I'm referring to them. Like yesterday I called my mom and I said, oh, what are you doing? And she sometimes stops on her drive back, on her commute back, and she'll get a coffee. And so she said, oh, I'm just pulling in to get a coffee. And I said, oh, a kofifi? And then in my head I was like, why did I say that? Because of Trump's kofifi tweet. They're part of the culture now. They're part of the zeitgeist.
Yeah, there is, it's Trump Tweetbot or something. I don't know, but they just find random old tweets of his when he's ranting about Diet Coke.
Yeah, those are my favorite. Those are my favorite. And someone
complained. It's terrible, but I'll drink it anyway.
Someone complained yesterday to me. They said, oh, you talk about too many things. Like, you're all over the place. That is what I like, though. I like when you can talk about Adam Schiff posting on TikTok and then in the next minute talk about Covfefe. I like that kind of spontaneity. And that's what I loved about Trump. You never knew what you were getting. I do have to say, I'm glad people are digging this Adam Schiff stuff, because I wasn't sure, you know, sometimes talking about TikTok and I didn't know if the listeners were really going to care, but people are tweeting in and saying, or texting in saying, this is nuts. This is nuts. You just proved Kevin McCarthy's point. For people who aren't following, Adam Schiff gets kicked off the House Intelligence Committee for good reason. We actually had a ton of cuts of him yesterday, just lying about Trump and Russia and over again. And he would use the fact that he was on the House Intelligence Committee to kind of act as though, I know something you don't know. I know something you don't know. And it's big and it's bad and it's scary. And then reporters from media outlets would say, when can we know this? Or when are we going to get this? Well, you're just going to have to wait. But once you do, you will be shocked. And so right after he gets kicked off this committee because he cannot be trusted with America's national security, he goes on TikTok, an app that is closely tied to the Chinese Communist Party, to whine about how he is no longer on the House Intelligence Committee dealing with this sensitive information. You know what I'm going to say here, Jared, and it's been a couple weeks and it's long overdue.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Yeah. Does it not cross his mind? Like when he posts it and he starts getting some of this feedback, do you think he realizes, oh, that does look kind of dumb, doesn't it? And then we have Eric Swalwell, who I'm telling you right now, if you go to gracecurlyshow.com and you vote, that's who I'm pulling for in this poll. I'm the happiest that Eric Swalwell is off the committee. He's right now ranking the lowest of the three at 5%. That is unacceptable because he had an intimate relationship with a Chinese spy. How does it not make you happy to see this guy kicked off an intelligence committee? That one doesn't sit right with me. But the reason I bring all of this up is because we have a cut of Eric Swalwell. This was at the press conference yesterday. They held this press conference to sing the blues, to play the world's smallest violin for themselves. Let's take a listen to Swalwell.
So this is purely about political vengeance. The cost is not only removing us from the committee. On the intelligence committee, the cost is not only shattering the most precious glassware in the cabinet, a committee that's always been bipartisan. The cost are the death threats that Ms. Omar, myself, and Mr. Schiff keep getting because Mr. McCarthy continues to aim and project these smears against us. Even though we have said publicly these smears are bringing death threats, he continues to do it, which makes us believe that there's an intent behind it.
Wait, hold on. So now we're at the point, and I love when Democrats go back to this, because I always say, like, the death threat thing, that is the last refuge of a scoundrel. And as I always say on this platform, and I will continue to say, I denounce any sort of violence. I think people who write mean things online and they write things they wouldn't say to somebody's face, the worst kind of people. Trust me, I've seen it, okay? But everybody gets these at this point. And so what you're trying to say is that you cannot be critical of members of the opposing side or members of your own party lest they get a death threat and you get blamed for it. And we saw this happening after the Paul Pelosi attack. Like, people started blaming politicians who put Nancy Pelosi in their fundraising or campaign ads for the fact that a deranged lunatic broke into her home. Deranged people do deranged things. Trying to say that we can't be, we can't question politicians or question anyone because we're putting them at risk is ridiculous. And it's not going to happen here. I can criticize whoever I want, just like, guess what, Jared? People can criticize me. And when somebody criticizes me or when somebody criticizes a Republican, we don't go out there and say, well, you know, thanks to your criticism of me, your valid criticism. That's the part that kills me. Kevin McCarthy's not out here. You know, Eric Swalwell can say it smears, but he has been very, very mum on the fang of it all. He has not outright denied this. And if it was not true, rest assured he would have. So these are valid criticisms that Kevin McCarthy is using because he keeps being questioned as to why he's making the decision he's making. So he talks about these valid criticisms, and now he's going to be told that it's his fault they're getting death threats. This is such a cop-out. Democrats do this every single time. Every time a Republican has a legitimate beef with them or a legitimate reason to take action and kick them off a committee or whatever it might be, they play the victim, and they go, well, now I'm in danger. Now I'm in danger. Join the club. Join the flipping club.
And it's especially scummy to do it in that manner when there is somebody in your own chamber of Congress who was shot at a congressional baseball practice.
Well, that was different. That was a crazy man.
I mean,
that was a crazy
you want to talk about death threats, and I'm not downplaying death threats. I'm just saying.
No, but Jared, maybe
step back a minute.
It's not that we're downplaying death threats. I don't think anyone thinks that. But if you're going to say that launching baseless smears against someone, that if you launch a baseless smear against someone, and I'm going to repeat this, they're not baseless. There's plenty of base to these claims, okay? But if you're going to even say that smearing someone in general now makes you liable for any death threats they receive, then I would ask Eric Swalwell and Adam Schiff if they feel personally responsible for the death threats against Donald J. Trump. Because some of the smears they've launched at Trump, now those were baseless. Those were debunked. Those were founded on absolutely zero evidence. And I'm going to guess, if I'm going to really think about it, and I would take a gamble on this, that Donald Trump gets more death threats than all three of those fine glassware items put together, combined, times 10 probably. But he's not out here saying, oh, these people can't criticize me. It's the United States of America. You guys are in the kitchen, so you better be able to take the heat. This is what happens. You're on a public platform, and you're launching attacks at every Republican you don't like round the clock. And then the second it comes back to you, because you had a romantic or whatever you want to say, an intimate relationship with a Chinese spy, or you lied about the president of the United States being involved with Russia, or you launched anti-Semitic attacks on Twitter or on television, the second it comes back and you get held accountable, then we get out the smallest violin. Then we get out the victim mentality. It's so bogus. I can't take it anymore. Okay, but we'll take your calls on this when we come back, and I'm going to save this because people are going to get upset. I keep teasing the Project Veritas, and it is really, really crazy stuff. But we will save it for the other side, so we have ample time to talk about it. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls, 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley is your perfect lunch day.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
This always happens to me. I start the show and I think, oh, I hope I have enough to fill this hour. And then the hour goes by and I didn't get to half the stuff I needed to. So we will get to the Pfizer stuff. I do want to take your calls first, though. So let's go to Jay. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, Grace. How's it going today?
Good. What's going on?
Not too much. Hey, quick question. So when Biden was elected, they booted a bunch of Republicans off the committees. And what was the reason that they used for that? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think it was Marjorie Taylor Greene was part of, I don't want to say part of QAnon, or she like had posted QAnon things. And the other guy, I think his last name's Gosar, he had put up some anime video that was threatening to or had violence against Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I think those were two. When it came to why Pelosi kicked people off the January 6th committee, that was because she just didn't like them. She didn't want them on there.
Yeah, so what if Kevin McCarthy just comes out, has a formal hearing or a meeting with the press, and he just lines up every single reason why they shouldn't be there and just tell the American people the facts? As of today, we kind of know, but we don't know the details. So if they keep spouting off about how they're so important and this and that, just have a meeting with the press and go line by line on every factual reason why they don't belong on that board.
Well, Jay, actually, he did do that yesterday. He had a great, great press conference with some activists who pretend to be reporters, and he did lay out exactly why Swalwell's not there, exactly why Schiff's not there. I'm not sure if he ended up getting to Ilhan Omar, but he has done this several times. You're not seeing it on a lot of the news programs. They cut away from it because he's handling these questions so well, and because it's based in the facts. You know, it's not based on his feelings. Sure, a lot of us aren't crazy about Adam Schiff, but there's plenty of reasons. And what I find so funny is when Eric Swalwell says, before he calls himself the finest, is it the finest china or the finest
glassware in the cabinet?
The finest glassware in the cabinet. Before he calls himself that, he says, this is political vengeance. They really like this term. He keeps tweeting about it. This is political vengeance. And I keep telling Eric Swalwell, listen, buddy, I'd be fine with that if it was just political vengeance. Okay? The truth is, there's a lot more reasons than just political vengeance, but I will tell you this much. I will give you this. Political vengeance is a bonus. It is a great, great cherry on top of kicking you off of this committee. The fact that it's a little bit of what's good for the goose is good for the gander, what's good for the donkey is good for the elephant. Yeah, That does feel good to me, but that's not the reason. There's plenty of reasons. Like, if you went into a court of law, Kevin McCarthy's got a stack of reasons against you, and really, he doesn't need a stack. He just needs two words, fang, fang, and there you go. Case closed.
And he brought this up yesterday. He's taking them off of these specific committees. They can serve on other committees.
Yeah, but Jared, there's nobody else who could do it like them.
No,
don't you understand?
Of course not. And even on a more primal level than everything we're talking about, he is the Speaker of the House. The Republicans control the House. They can run the government however they wish to for the next 2 years.
I wrote
within
about,
constitutional means.
I wrote about this in a column I did for the Herald, where I said I don't think it's that Democrats, they do these things. You know, they set this precedent. Like Kevin McCarthy saying, this is the Pelosi precedent. She decided that Jim Jordan and it was Jim Banks couldn't be on the January 6th committee hearings, and they weren't going to be a part of that. Once she did that, Kevin McCarthy told them, he said, you're going to regret this. You're going to regret this because we're going to do the same thing. Now, I don't think Democrats thought there's no way Republicans will ever be in power again. I don't think they're that out of their minds, but they definitely thought, I don't think Republicans will ever play ball. I don't think they'll ever play by the rules we've set. They'll keep playing by their rules, which is like, take the high road, have integrity. Bring us back to the old days where Tip O'Neill and Ted Kennedy had a beer together after they fought on the floor. No, no, no. We're not doing that anymore. We don't care. We don't want people who care. Like, I don't want Republicans who care if the Washington Post thinks they're classy or dignified or, you know, a refreshing blast from the past. I don't want Republicans who operate like that. I want Republicans who fight, who say, this is the rules that you decided on, and guess what? Now we're playing ball, and we're going to see how you like it. That's the kind of Republicans I want to see. And I think Kevin McCarthy, and a lot of people had beef when the whole circus thing was going on with picking the Speaker of the House, which, selfishly, I found very entertaining. I mean, it kept the show going for quite a few days there. But I think that in hindsight, that was a very healthy message to send to Kevin McCarthy, which is, we are not going to deal with this anymore. You are not going to talk the talk and then get in there and get weak-kneed like so many Republicans have before you, like Paul Ryan, like Boehner, like all these other people. If you claim you're going to do all these things, then you got to do them. And from what I can see right now, the way he's handling this, he's making good on his promises. And that's all we can ask for. John, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Grace, yeah, we talked about that before, about Swalwell talking about that, you know, saying the death threats. That's what they all do. Nancy Pelosi, it's the children. You're harming the children. You're killing the children. If they lose an argument somewhere else out there, one of the congressmen, one of the senators, liberal Democrats, they say, oh, you're a racist. As soon as they don't know what to say, they say, oh, you're a racist. You're a homophobe, or you're this, or you're that. And that's exactly what Swalwell's doing now, is saying, oh, I'm getting death threats, using the death threat.
So you can't criticize him.
Right. And one thing I want to say is the finest glassware in the cabinet doesn't get used, so it's useless. And that's what he is. Useless.
Useless. Yeah. I mean, I'll never forget the day where Eric Swalwell tweeted out a photo of himself with a Starbucks coffee, and there was snow flurries all around. It was snowing out, and he said something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing here, there was a Starbucks in the building in Trump Tower that was closer to him, but he went across the street to a different Starbucks because he wouldn't go to the Trump Starbucks.
And you are so brave.
So I don't know if we can call that useless, you know, that kind of courage. When we come back, talking to David Marcus about a host of different things, and I cannot wait for you to hear it. Don't go anywhere.